I want to speak to you this morning about two great missions. The great mission of the Son of God, and secondly, the great mission of the Christian Church. If we're Christians, we were saved by the first of those two great missions, the mission of the Son of God. And we were saved for the second of those two great missions, the great mission of the Christian Church. We've read this story of that poor demon-possessed man who was wonderfully healed and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to draw your attention to five things that we see in this story. Firstly, we see a great need. The man in question, he told Jesus that his name was Legion because of the legion of demons or evil spirits that had taken possession of him, was incredibly needy, wasn't he? He was a demon-possessed man. And it would have been bad enough if he'd been possessed by just one demon. But Legion had been taken over by a whole host of demons. At that time, in a Roman legion, there were more than 5,000 soldiers. And we know that all those demons went from Legion into about 2,000 pigs, according to Mark's Gospel. It's hard for us to imagine what that must have been like, isn't it? One man possessed by hundreds, maybe thousands, of demons or evil spirits. And we're told that Legion had been like that for a very long time. That he lived completely naked. And he didn't live in a house. He lived in the local cemetery. Do you fancy that? And poor Legion suffered from frequent demonic attacks and had to be restrained with chains, we're told, and shackles. And even that didn't work. And he was driven by the demon into the desert. And he was almost certainly a Gentile and not a Jew, because the Gerasene or Gadarene region on the far side of Lake Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee was a predominantly Gentile area. And what about those 2,000 pigs? Hardly normal for a Jewish community. Jews weren't allowed to touch pigs, let alone eat their meat. But let's not lose sight of the most basic fact of all. Legion, like all of us by nature, was a lost sinner on his way to hell. What an incredibly needy man he was. But isn't Legion, in a sense, a picture of all of us human beings in our natural spiritual condition? Okay, we may not be literally demon-possessed, but by nature we belong to Satan. We belong to the domain of darkness. We're spiritual slaves, the Bible tells us. We're helpless prisoners of our own sinful desires. We too are by nature sinners on our way to hell. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote about our natural spiritual condition. He wrote, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." If we're Christians now, well, that's what we were like before. And that's what the spiritually lost people around us are really like. So that's the first thing that we see in this story, a great need. But secondly, we also see in this story a great love, a great love. Where does mission really begin? Well, let me tell you, mission begins in the heart of God. And we see that so clearly in this story. Even before we're introduced to Legion, we see Jesus already on his way to heal him and save him. This story doesn't start in Luke 8:26. It starts in verse 22, where we read, "One day he," that is Jesus, "got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side of the lake.'" Jesus and his disciples were on the western side of Lake Tiberias, which we often refer to as the Sea of Galilee, but Jesus wanted to cross over to the eastern side of the lake. Why? Why did he want to cross over to the other side of the lake? Well, to heal and save a demon-possessed man. That was why. Do you know what the key verse in this gospel according to Luke is? It's Luke 19:10, which says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And that was why Jesus got into that boat that day. He was off to seek and to save one particular lost person called Legion. Do you know how wide Lake Tiberias was and is? 8 miles wide. 13 miles long. And 8 miles wide. That is pretty wide. I mean, 8 miles is not very far by car. But 8 miles in a boat, rowing across a huge lake, is a totally different matter. And what happened while they were crossing the lake? Verses 23 and 24. A windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke Jesus, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." There was a storm that was so bad that even four of Jesus' disciples, who were not only professional fishermen, but they were on the very lake where they worked day by day throughout the year, and yet they thought they were going to die. "Master, we're perishing." And Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But what happened after that? Verse 26. Then, after Jesus calmed that windstorm, then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes opposite Galilee. In other words, after that terrible life-threatening storm, they carried on rowing in the same direction as before, because Jesus was on a life-saving mission. And he wasn't going to be deterred even by a life-threatening storm. And Jesus carried out his mission that day, didn't he? He healed and saved that man called Legion. And then he got back into the boat with his disciples and crossed back over to the other side of the lake again. So 8 miles there, in a boat, through that terrible storm, and then 8 miles back again to the western side of the lake. What was the point of those 16 miles on Lake Tiberias that day? The salvation of one man. And he was a Gentile. He was the local madman, we might say. Is that not love? Do you see Jesus' heart for the lost in this story? What about us? Do we have a heart for the lost? What about you? Do you have a heart for mission? A heart for the lost? So we see in this story, firstly, a great need. Secondly, a great love. And now thirdly, a great power. We've already seen Jesus' amazing power at work in his powerful calming of that windstorm. Verse 24. He awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But what about his power in healing and saving Legion? It's hard to decide which of Jesus' two miracles that day was the greater. Because surely what happened that day over on the other side of the lake must have been the greatest exorcism that the world has ever seen. A whole legion of demons, imagine it, acknowledging Jesus' lordship, being sent by Jesus into those 2,000 pigs, which then rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Yes, we may feel sorry for the pigs and for their owners, but what nobody can deny is the greatness of Jesus' power. His great power over all those demons. His power over life and death. His great power to heal and to save. And if we are Christians, is there a sense in which the Lord did the same in our lives? Becoming a Christian is not so much a change of religion. It's nothing less than a spiritual resurrection. And that's what's happened to us if we're Christians. But think of the people you know and love who are not yet believers. It's tempting to think, isn't it, that they'll never be saved. Oh, they'll never be saved. They're too hard. They're not interested. I've been praying for them for years. No sign of any change so far. But think about that man, Legion. Are any of the people you think are unsavable today harder cases than Legion? Isn't the one who healed and saved Legion able to save the people you're thinking about right now? The reason we think and feel that those people we love and care about will never be saved, because we're seeing their hardness and our own pathetic weakness. But we need to stop looking at them or at ourselves. And we need to look at the one who sent all those demons into those pigs. Is there anything he can't do? Is there anyone he can't save? Is there anyone too hard for the Lord to save? Our only grounds for confidence in evangelism and mission is the Lord's great power to save. That is the only basis of our confidence and our hope. So we've seen a great need, a great love, a great power, and now fourthly, a great change. Let me just remind you what Legion was like before Jesus healed him and saved him that day. Verses 27 to 30 again. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. But now look at him afterwards in verse 35. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Can you imagine a bigger change than that? He went from being demon full to being demon free. He went from roaming around to sitting down. He went from the cemetery to Jesus' feet. He went from demoniac to disciple. He went from being naked to being clothed. He went from being a madman to being a man in his right mind. But more importantly, he went from Satan's kingdom to the kingdom of God's dear Son. What a change. But if you're a Christian, a real Christian, you too have experienced a similar change. Because if anyone is in Christ, the Apostle Paul tells us, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And if you're not yet a Christian, the Lord is able to make you too a new creation. And when we tell people the good news about Jesus, and when we support mission, whether locally or globally, we know that the Lord is able to use that to change people's lives, just as Jesus changed that man's life that day. With man, it's impossible. But not with God. For all things are possible with God. So we've seen a great need, we've seen a great love, a great power, and a great change. And now, fifthly and finally, we also see in this story a great mission. A great mission. Verse 38. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. There you have another vital sign of spiritual life. Wanting to be with Jesus. If you're a Christian, you'll want to be with Jesus. We can't be with him physically at the moment, but we can be with him by believing in him, by praying to him, by living our lives mindful of him. But what happened in the case of the man from whom Jesus had cast out all those demons? We continue reading. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." Why did Jesus send him away? Well, because he had an important job for him to do. Return to your home. Declare how much God has done for you. What did he do? Verse 39, the second part of the verse. He went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. He did what Jesus told him to do and even more. Notice three things about what he did. Firstly, he went away proclaiming. It's the herald word. He was still on the first day of his new life as a believer, as a follower of Jesus. And yet he was already heralding the message of the gospel to the people of his town and region. Proclaiming about Jesus. And secondly, it says he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city. Jesus had said to him, "Return to your home," but he wasn't content with just doing that. He proclaimed the good news about Jesus to everyone he could find, everyone in the town. And then notice thirdly, that he went away proclaiming how much Jesus had done for him. Jesus had said to him, "Declare how much God has done for you." But to him, it was now the same thing. He went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus, the one he now understood to be more than just a man, God become a man. And it was Jesus that he proclaimed throughout the whole city. We have a lot to learn, don't we, from this newly converted Gentile missionary. We learn the why of mission. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has told us to do it. That's why we have to tell people about the Lord Jesus. The how of mission. We're to proclaim the King's message, not make up a message of our own that we think people will find more acceptable. We are just to pass on the message that God has entrusted to us without changing it or tampering with it. And that was what he did on his first day as a believer. Proclaim about the Lord Jesus to everyone in the city. And we learn the what of mission. What is the content of the message we are to pass on to the people around us? It is Christ. It is Jesus. It is what we would call in more theological terms, the person and the work of Christ. That is our message. We're not preaching our own church or group of churches or whatever. We are preaching Jesus. We are heralds to proclaim about Christ to people and tell them what great things he has done for sinners like us. That is the church's mission. That is our mission if we're believers. We also learn the where of mission. Where are we to do that? Well, we're to tell everyone everywhere about Christ. That was what that man did on that far side of Lake Tiberias. He just went everywhere. He couldn't contain himself. "Let me tell you what Jesus, who I now understand is the Son of God, has done for me, how he's changed my life." And we learn the who of mission. Who can do that? Who can tell others about Jesus? Who can evangelize? Well, in a sense, the answer is those for whom the Lord has done so much. How much has he done for you, for me, for us? Do you know who Jesus is? And do you know what he did? If so, you can evangelize. If you can't say anything more than that, if you can only tell people who Jesus is and what he's done to save sinners like us, you are in a position to be able to share the good news of the gospel with others. We don't need to be theologians to be able to do that, do we? Was Legion a theologian? He was still on the first day of his new life as a follower of Jesus, and yet he was already telling people how much Jesus had done for him. Can we not do that? I know we feel inadequate. Oh, I'm no good at speaking. It always comes out wrong when I try to talk to someone. It's better if I don't try anymore. No. Tell them about Jesus. Just tell them who he is. Tell them what he came into this world to do and how he can save them as he saved us. That's all we need to do, in a sense. And we can help other Christians, can't we, who are evangelizing in other places, whether it's Ukraine or across the other side of the world. When we pray for missionaries, when we support mission, we are helping other Christians like us in other parts of the world to tell people around them about Jesus and how he can be their Savior and Lord. Like Legion, we too have a great mission to carry out, to tell people, yes, how much God has done for us, but to tell people how much Jesus has done for us and how much he can do for them. So we've seen in this story these five simple things: a great need, a great love, a great power, a great change, and a great mission. We've seen how this story begins with a mission and how it also ends with a mission. It begins with Jesus himself on a mission to heal and save one incredibly needy person. And it ends with that same man on a mission himself to tell as many people as possible about Jesus. And if we are Christians, it is because the Lord Jesus Christ saw us in our great need, loved us with his great love, saved us by his great power, brought about a great change in our lives, and then sent us on a great mission. Friends, may the one who saved us use us as instruments in his almighty hands for the salvation of many others, both near and far. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, how we thank you for all that you have done for us, for all that you continue to do in our lives. And we are sinners. We don't deserve any of it. And yet you are a God who is rich in grace and mercy and kindness and love. Oh Lord, renew that sense of wonder and gratitude for all that you have done and are doing for us. And Lord, may that spur us on to renew our commitment to taking the great news about Jesus and about salvation in him to people around us. Lord, we pray for our unsaved loved ones, family members, friends, people we work with or study with, our neighbours and acquaintances, the people here and the people in other places, people across the other side of the world. Lord, fill our hearts with more of the love that we have experienced from you. And may that enable us and motivate us so that we never tire of telling people at every opportunity how much you have done for us and how much you are able to do for them. And we pray this for your glory. And in the name of our blessed Saviour and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.